Hello everyone, my name is Chung Yong Lee. Currently I'm a graduate student at UC Davis. And today I'm going to talk about my own research, and my topic is evaluating the potential risk of exposure to agricultural dust generated from biochar in many soils. So as a soil amendment, there have been many studies investigating the potential merits of biochar, but at the same time, it is of equal significance to ensure its safe usage, for it is well known that biochar may carry various toxic or endocrine disrupting chemicals such as polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Such chemical can enter different environmental matrices and potentially produce a human health effect. Among which, the incorporation of biochar into the atmosphere has been fully investigated. One of the major pathways is through standard farming operations such as tillage, as has been shown in my title slide. So overall, by collecting the dust generated under different conditions, my objectives are first to characterize various physical and chemical properties of the biochar-rich dust and to evaluate the potential biologic risks correspondingly. The integrated objective is to help establish management practices to minimize the hazards towards the occupational farmers. The method I used throughout the study is a simulation method with a dust generator. So first, a bunch of treatments are made by mixing the soils and the biochars with different factors controlled. Then the mixture, without any long-term incubation, is put into dust generator, where the dust is collected. The factors, chosen in my study include soil texture, silt loam and sandy loam, the biochar application rate, and the soil moisture content. These two parameters, we design a gradient representing low, medium, high level, and biochar type, finally. And we use both one-shell biochar and the pinewood biochar. And for the pinewood biochar, there's a thermal sequence of production pyrolysis temperature. A basic working principle for the dust generator is as follows. So when the mixture is put into the rotating tank, through the, rotating the drum, the blades inside that tank can disrupt the mixture, simulating the tillage processes. And with the help of the blowing air, the dust generated can be transported to the second settling chamber where dust is collected. The aluminum pan underneath the tank can help collect the bulk dust, while the vacuum, which is attached to a grease impactor, can help collect the PM10 fraction. And that, by the way, PM10 means airborne particulate matter with a diameter under 10 micrometer. The operation conditions has been optimized in previous studies, so it's being adopted in my study as well. And the left lower corner of the picture shows how the actual dust generator looked like. After the dust is collected, various properties are measured, as is mentioned. And for the physical properties include the size distribution and the mass concentration. It's pretty straightforward. And for the biochar content in the dust, we use a molecular marker method named BPCA, which stands for benzene polycarboxylic acid. In brief, when the highly condensed carbon, which is a key feature of biochar, can be oxidized by concentrated nitric acid at high temperature for a period and produce biochar, which can be analyzed by HPLC technique. For the biological risks, we use the Calix bioassay method, which stands for chemically activated luciferin expression bioassay. So in general, the dust sample are extracted with solvents, and the extracts are put into a gene-modified cell lines. If there are some endocrine-disrupting chemicals, the cell will produce luciferin expression or activity, and such activity is proportional to the relative abundance of the endocrine disrupting chemicals. So the following are some preliminary data I got up to date. And this table shows you the dust particle size distribution generated under different conditions. The left-hand side describes the treatment conditions, and the right-hand side shows you the volumetric percentage for three size fractions, including PM2.5, PM4, and PM10. So all current findings suggest that the addition of biochar into soil do not significantly alter the size distribution compared to the controls. And as you can see in the two boxes, the green box indicates the controls and the red box indicates the biochar amended soils. As long as the soil texture in the system is fixed, like the silt loam here, the size distribution doesn't dramatically change. And this is also true for the silt loam cases. For the next phase is about the PM10 mass concentration, and this figure shows you the effect of the biochar type. The x-axis indicate the different biochar types, and the y-axis is the PM10 mass concentration with a unit of milligram per cubic meter. The blue bar is silt loam system, and the red bars are sandy loams. So two major findings. First, the silt loam system always produced less PM10 compared to the sandy loam systems. This is potentially due to the weaker interparticle forces, like the capillary forces, and therefore it is more prone to mechanic disturbance like tillage, thus produce more PM10 emission. And second, finding is that the usage of different types of biochar will not significantly result in different PM10 emission. So the next figure shows you the effect of soil moisture, and as we can expect, as the soil moisture increases, the dust generated is drastically decreased, but still the addition of biochar into the soil do not alter the PM10 emission compared to the corresponding controls. The final figure about the PM10 is talking about the effect of biochar application rate. And this is somewhat interesting finding because when the application rate is 1%, 2%, the PM10 emission is comparable to the corresponding controls. But for the 5% application rate, there is an obvious increase about the PM10 emission, indicating that there might be some threshold values above which the PM10 emission can increase drastically. The mechanism is still unclear, and definitely we need more investigations. But it is suspected that there's weakened interparticle forces when more biochar is added. The third piece about my data is about the biochar content in the dust. The y-axis is a parameter called BPC, carbon over organic carbon ratio, or percentage, which is the most widely used index to indicate the blood carbon, or in this case, biochar content in a sample matrix. The higher the value is, the higher biochar content it is. This figure shows you about the effect of biochar application rate, and as we expected, the more addition of biochar into the soil, the more biochar there will be in the dust. And this figure shows you the effect of biochar type, and as we can see, as long as the application rate is fixed, different biochar types will not result in different PM10 emission. Will not result in different biochar content in the dust. The final piece is about the bioassay data. The y-axis is the luciferin activity normalized against a standard estrogen chemical called E2 with a concentration of 1 nanomolar, and such index can indicates the relevant relative abundance of the endocrine disrupting chemicals. As you can see in the controls, which are the dust generated from pure soils, they don't have any endocrine disrupting chemicals contained, but there are some from the biochar amended systems, which indicate that they all come from the biochars. More importantly, the walnut shell biochar has more endocrine disrupting chemicals compared to the pine wood feedstock biochars. So the very last figure about my presentation is talking about the effect of biochar application rate on the bioacid results. And as we can expect it, more biochar put in the soil, more dust in the soil, and more endocrine disrupting chemicals in the dust. In summary, our current findings suggest that the addition of biochar into the soil will not significantly alter the physical properties of the dust generated from the systems, especially the particle size distribution, but high application rate of biochar can result in increasing emission of PM10, and more importantly, there will be more biochar and endocrine disrupting chemicals in the dust. So high application rate like 5% should be avoided. Soil moisture and soil texture are critical controlling the overall amount of dust generated, like the less moist or the sandier the texture the soil is, the more dust there will be generated. And finally, walnut shell biochar is less preferred to pinewood biochar regarding the biological risk evaluations, and this is a really important implication because we may consider the feedstock effect on potential human health when choosing biochar to apply to the soil. Finally, I would like to thank all the fundings for my research and my colleagues in my lab. And thank you for listening, and I will take any questions.
Questions?
Yeah.
How do you distinguish the particles within the particles, which one is the soil particle and biochar?
That's a good question. It's kind of challenging. Actually, the biochar content using the BPC method is that indirect indicator, like how many biochar particles can be different distinguished from the soil particles. But yeah, maybe some microscopy method can be used, but we haven't done it yet.
So when applying biochar to the soil, depending on the method, the biochar might, fall through the air a little bit and then sit on the surface in the wind. So could you use your setup to simulate that too?
No, this dust generator is specifically designed for simulating the farming operators, but there are some other types of dust generators simulating the wind blowing effects. So it's a totally different system, and my research is mainly concerned the operations like tillage. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.